Thank you for listening to this sermon from Hope Church, Toronto West. It is our prayer that through these audio sermons, you are challenged and transformed by the Word of God, built up in love and faith, and drawn more to the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now, as you prepare your heart to receive God's Word, we pray that His Spirit would use the sermon powerfully in your life.
Oh, Father, we are so thankful for who you are and what you mean to us. You are everything to us. Now, the world is a hard place. It's a dark place. These days, we're feeling the weight of that and the reality of the effects of sin everywhere. And so we take a deep breath right now to say, thank you, God, for being God. Thank you for being good. Thank you for reaching out to us and saving us and making us your own and living within us. Lord, we pray today for our whole church family, and we pray for the world. We pray for the people of Lebanon who've experienced a tragic disaster in the explosion this week. We pray for the people all over the world suffering from the COVID-19 virus. We pray for the people that are suffering from the other effects of the COVID-19 virus in various ways, impacting so many people and economies. Lord, we pray. We pray because you listen. We pray because you know. We pray because you love us. We pray because we must, because we need you. And now, Lord, I just ask that you would help us as we pray. Fill us with your Spirit. Help us, Lord, wherever we are, wherever we're sitting or standing or listening or watching, help us to receive today a word from you. We love you and thank you for your word. Speak to us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, church family, so good to be back with you. It's been a good break for myself and my family, and just looking ahead to the next ministry year. But really, really good to be back. And I believe God will continue to speak to us as he's been speaking to us this month from the book of Philippians. We're going to continue with expositions from the book of Philippians until the end of August. And at that point, we will launch a new ministry year in September that I'm so excited about. But this morning, today, I want to talk to you about spiritual maturity. I want to talk to us about spiritual maturity, about growing up, about moving forward, about pressing on. Why? Because this is Paul's emphasis here as we continue looking into his beautiful letter to the church at Philippi. So right away, I want you to take your Bibles and go with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Starting from verse 12, going to verse 14, we're going to pick up where Pastor Marvin left us last week. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14, and this is what it says. Paul says, "Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own." He says in verse 13, "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." I press on. There is so much in this passage for us about spiritual maturity, about spiritual growth, about moving forward, about growing up. And so this is where I want to start this morning. Write this down if you have a pen and paper in hand. Concerning spiritual maturity, write this down. I have not fully arrived. That's where we need to start. That's where Paul takes us today. Concerning spiritual maturity, I have not fully arrived. Notice verse 12. Paul says, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect." Now, I want to review the context for us, because context is always critical if we want to understand what the Word of God is saying in any particular verse of Scripture. Understanding the context that in this address to the church at Philippi, Paul here is addressing and combating false teachers that were infiltrating the church. He's often doing that. He's very concerned about correcting false doctrine and false teaching. And the main thrust of their false teaching was that salvation could be obtained by observing the Jewish law. Good works. Just do enough good works and you can be saved. And salvation specifically is attained through observing the ritual of circumcision. But there was another element to their false teaching. This is very important. The false teachings were also preaching an attainable perfection in this life. They were claiming that through a commitment to the Jewish law and through observance of the rituals and the rules of Judaism, that perfection could be attained here on earth. And so Paul moves from arguing the total futility of his own religious credentials or any good works at the beginning of chapter 3 towards a passionate declaration of the surpassing value and worth of knowing Jesus Christ and finding salvation in Him alone. There are no amount of good works that can save us, but only knowing Christ Jesus as Lord. In fact, it's worth looking at again. I want you to notice the preceding verses on the screen, verses 7 to 11, says this, "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and may share His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead." Such a passionate declaration of the surpassing value and worth of Jesus Christ and the futility of everything he once held dear and put his hope in. And now, in order to combat and correct the false notion that perfection can be achieved in this life, he puts himself forward as an example, and he writes this in verse 12. Notice it. "Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect." Not that I've already obtained what? Not that I've already obtained, as he said, a perfect knowledge of the power of his resurrection. But I want to, Paul says. Not that I've already perfectly understood the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. But I want to. I'm pursuing that. Not that I've already fully understood what it really means that I've become like him in his death, but I want to. I'm pressing on towards it. Not that I've already attained the resurrection from the dead, but I will. And on that day, I will be perfect. But Paul's saying, not yet. Not yet. No one is perfect in this life. Loved ones, can I ask you a question? Have you ever felt the pressure to be perfect? Have you ever felt the pressure to be perfectly spiritually mature? Somehow you needed to have all the right answers, say all the right things, respond in all the right ways all the time. Have you ever felt the pressure? Sometimes in the church, we feel that way. We always have to be right. Let me ask you another question. Do you often feel like you have actually arrived? Do you sometimes act or live in such a way that projects that attitude, that you have actually arrived at a perfect level of spiritual maturity? Now, it's no secret we're living in such a conflicted world today. Unprecedented, unparalleled times. And some of us look at the headlines, and as Christians, we feel like we need to have all the answers. We need to have the perfect responses all the time. We need to have a perfect grasp on all that's happening in the world. But the truth is, and be liberated by this, loved ones, while God has all the answers and He does want to give us answers, the truth is, loved ones, we don't always know perfectly, do we? We don't always have a perfect grasp. Now, others of us, through our actions, reactions, deep motives of the heart, we actually feel like we have arrived at a fully matured grasp of everything that's taking place in our world. Can you just check your heart? Is that you sometimes? These are the people who are quick to speak and slow to listen. These are the people who are constantly outraged at other people's opinions if they differ from their own. These are the people who are always in conflict on social media and in their relationships, making polarizing statements or simply cynical or critical of everyone else all the time. What's under all of that? What's under that cynicism? What's under that critical mindset? It's that somehow we think we've arrived sometimes, don't we? Loved ones, all throughout his writings, the Apostle Paul is constantly acknowledging that he has not fully arrived. That he is pursuing spiritual maturity, but he has not arrived there perfectly. And listen to me, loved ones, very carefully, very closely right now. This very acknowledgement that Paul has not fully arrived is the very evidence of the fact that he is arriving. The fact that he sees with humility that he has not fully arrived at spiritual perfection is the very evidence that he is growing in spiritual maturity. You see, those who are arriving, those who are growing, those who are progressing and advancing in spiritual maturity are precisely those who are aware of how far they have yet to go. And so they're growing in humility. Maybe I don't know as much as I think I know, so let me hold back my opinion for a moment. Let me think on it. Let me pray. Let me listen. Let me search the scriptures. They're growing in the fruit of righteousness rather than fueling already heated discussions. They're contributing in edifying ways to the discussion. They're growing in grace. They understand their own journey of growth, and so they give grace to others, even if they may be wrong. They give grace. They're growing in spiritual maturity. Paul says, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect. I'm not there yet. I haven't arrived yet. I'm still growing. Loved ones, do you know what we need in these days? Do you know what we need in these conflicted days? Do you know what we need in these dark days? I believe we need more and more Christians who understand I have not fully arrived. I'm still growing. We need preachers who understand that I have not fully arrived. We need husbands and wives and singles and young and old and men and women to engage the culture with the humility of Jesus and the urgency and the desire to grow, knowing
We have not fully arrived. We are growing. And oh, how that understanding changes the way we speak. And it changes the way we don't speak. And it changes the way we act. And it changes the way we react. And all of a sudden, we're being salt and light in a decaying world. Because we understand with humility, concerning spiritual maturity, I have not already arrived, but I'm moving forward. This is the humility that Paul models for us, the humility of Jesus Christ that he outlines earlier in Philippians chapter 2, and this is the humility with which we, church family, must live and must react with and must act upon. Such humility is appealing to the world. Such humility is needed. Concerning spiritual maturity, I have not fully arrived. As the preacher today, can I just say I have not fully arrived? As the preacher today, can I just tell you I don't have all the answers? As the preacher today, can I tell you there's so many areas of my life where I'm still progressing and growing? I have not fully arrived. And neither have you, neither have we. Let's understand that as we discuss spiritual maturity. Concerning spiritual maturity, I've not fully arrived. Secondly, this, write this down. Concerning spiritual maturity, and note this, I must run after it. I must run after it. Notice the second part of verse 12 and 13. He says, not that I have already obtained this or I'm already perfect. Watch this now. But I press on. Let's stop here for a moment. I press on. The words press on mean to run or to follow after. It actually refers to an aggressive, energetic, diligent effort. I run after it. The picture we get here is of a race or an athletic competition. The picture communicates a race that is grueling, that's characterized by struggle involving agony and strain, with a mind set upon finishing the race, but not just finishing the race, in fact, winning the race. The idea here is that while the Apostle Paul understands and admits that I have not fully arrived perfectly at spiritual maturity, he strives towards it and actively pursues it. And so while we may be tempted to sit back and think, well, I haven't arrived, let me just sit back and wait then. No, Paul says, I haven't arrived yet, but I'm running after it. I want to grow. I want to mature. I want to press on. We need this word today, church family. Some of us are discouraged. Some of us are down. Some of us, our Christian lives have run dry, and we need to press on, run after it. Now he goes on in verse 12, notice it. But I press on, I'm running hard. I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Now this phrase can be tricky to get our minds around. Let me just say it this way. Paul's primary goal in his life was the same as Christ's goal in saving him. That's what he's talking about there. I'll say it again. Paul's primary goal in his life was the same as Christ's goal in saving him. So we need to ask the question, what was Christ's goal in saving the Apostle Paul? What is Christ's goal in saving us? Well, we get some hints on the screen. Romans 8, 29. It says this, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined. Why? Here it is. To be conformed to the image of his son. Spiritual maturity. What about Ephesians 1 verse 4 on the screen? Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Why did he choose us? Here it is. That we should be holy and blameless before him. Spiritual maturity and growth. Watch this. 1 Thessalonians 4. For this is the will of God. What is the will of God for my life? What is the purpose of God for my life? Here it is. your sanctification, spiritual maturity, spiritual growth. That is God's goal in us, to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. So Christ took hold of us in order to save us and to totally transform us into the image of Jesus Christ. And so the Apostle Paul was on the same diligent pursuit, the same clear goal. What's the goal? Christ-likeness. What's the goal? Holiness. What's the goal? Transformation. What is the goal? Spiritual maturity. We need to grow in spiritual maturity. We have not arrived, but we must press on such that the goal of our lives is the same as Christ's goal in saving us, to be conformed to his image. Now, keep in mind the context here. This is important. Keep in mind that the Apostle Paul wrote these words from prison with execution looming. So he's not writing these words in the midst of a bed of roses in his life. No, he's particularly passionate about pursuing spiritual maturity, not because his circumstances are amazing, but in spite of his circumstances. In fact, one of the central messages of Philippians is that for the Christian, our circumstances are never to dictate whether we have joy or don't have joy. Our circumstances are never to dictate what our pursuits are. No, our circumstances don't dictate our pursuits or our joy, but the Word of God and the reality of who He is and what He's done for us. And if we can get our eyes on who he is and what he's done for us, if we can get our eyes off of ourselves, and I don't just say that as a matter of cliche, but I say that as a matter of urgency. We are so prone to keep our eyes planted on ourselves. I am so prone to keep my eyes upon myself and my circumstances. If we can get our eyes off of ourselves and onto Christ and what he's done for us and what he means for us and what he has in store for us, then we could understand what the most valuable pursuits of life really are. It's the pursuit of Christ-likeness and spiritual maturity and transformation and greater love and greater worship in our lives. That's what Paul's pursuit was. I wonder if it's our pursuit these days. I wonder if we are pressing on, if we are pressing on toward the upward call of God. Are we pressing on? Listen to this from the Pew Research Center. I read this week. It said this: the COVID-19 pandemic, which has transformed virtually every aspect of public life, also has touched a very intimate part of, this is an American survey, Americans' lives, but I think it speaks to us. Their religious faith and worship habits. Some say their religious faith has strengthened as a result of the outbreak, even as the vast majority of churchgoers report that their congregations have closed regular worship services to the public, according to a new Pew Research Center survey. The survey reveals this: one quarter of adults overall, 24%, say their faith has become stronger because of the coronavirus pandemic. Interesting. Just 2% say their faith has become weaker. This is also interesting. The majority say their faith hasn't changed much, 47%. So 24% say their faith has become stronger. Just 2% say their faith is weaker. But the vast majority say their faith hasn't changed much. Now, where would you and I land in that survey? Are we among those who we could honestly say our faith is being strengthened because we are becoming more and more dependent, because we are pressing on
Or are we among the minority who, according to the survey, our faith has declined? Or are we among the majority who has just become stagnant? How does Paul do in crisis? Where would the Apostle Paul land in this survey? Well, Paul would say, I press on. I press on. I'm growing. I'm moving forward. I'm progressing. I have not fully arrived, but I am arriving. I have a long way to go, but I'm getting there. I'm not stuck. I'm pressing on. Loved ones, we must press on. Concerning spiritual maturity, we must run after it. With our Bibles in hand, with our hearts set on Him, with our knees bent in prayer, we must long to advance in a pursuit of spiritual maturity. I wonder if you're watching this or listening to this right now and you feel dry, you feel stagnant. It's okay. There's no condemnation, loved ones. There's no condemnation. God loves you. Jesus loves you. But He's reminding us today of His goal for us. Transformation, sanctification, spiritual maturity. He wants to take us from where we are to another level of understanding who He is and appreciating what He's done and worshiping Him for who He is and His attributes, even in the midst of crisis and disaster. Concerning spiritual maturity, loved ones, would we be people, even by the end of this service, to be able to say, maybe I've been stuck for a bit, but no, I press on. I have not fully arrived, but I'm pressing on. I know I have a long way to go, but God is changing me. I press on. Oh, I pray that we would be that kind of church and this kind of people. I want to be that way, and I hope you do too. Concerning spiritual maturity, I have not fully arrived. I must run after it. Finally, this, write this down. Concerning spiritual maturity, write this down. Only hope will compel me. Only hope will compel me. Notice verse 13 now, the second part, Paul says, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I want to show you what's happening here. The great apostle Paul's heart is no longer set on anything in this world. His focus is completely set upon the hope he now has in Jesus Christ. He has left his religious credentials behind. He has left the privileges he once had as a Pharisee within Judaism behind. He has left his reputation that he once held so dear behind. And he is straining forward to what lies ahead. Straining forward. Notice it again. But one thing I do. Notice the text. Notice the singular focus. Forgetting what lies behind. Notice the leaving behind of all that is futile in this life. And straining forward to what lies ahead. Other translations say reaching forward to what's ahead. The Greek translates it to stretch. It actually describes a muscle stretching to its limit and pictures a runner straining every muscle to reach the finish line. Can you picture it? What does this teach us? It teaches us that in Paul's mind, what lies at the finish line is absolutely worth running for. Yes, it is. It teaches us that what lies at the finish line is unparalleled in the hope it provides. Nothing in this life can compare to the hope that is at the end of that finish line, the hope that I have in Jesus Christ. In fact, it teaches us that in Paul's mind, what lies at the finish line is so glorious that even prison cannot stop his pursuit of it. It teaches us that what lies at the finish line is so valuable that even a looming execution cannot stop his pursuit of it. It teaches us that what lies behind that finish line is so bright and so beautiful that even a dark and gloomy prison with a death sentence cannot snatch the joy that his hope can give. Loved ones, this is the hope of every single Christian. Don't lose sight of it. Don't forget about it. Don't focus on the difficulty. Don't focus on the tragedy around us. Yes, mourn. Yes, grieve. Yes, lament. Let's be salt and light in the world. But all the while, not setting our hopes on the here and now, because as an old gospel chorus tells me, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. We are passing through. And what compels us, what propels us in this pursuit of spiritual maturity? It's the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the hope of every Christian, that one day very soon, Jesus Christ is coming back. One day very soon, every eye will see him. One day very soon. This is not a myth. This is not a legend. This is true. One day very soon, Jesus Christ will make all things right. One day, oh so soon. And when that day comes, loved ones, I've been thinking about this a lot lately. When that day comes, you know what this life is going to feel like? It's going to feel like a split second. It's going to feel like the twinkling of an eye. It's going to feel like the blink of an eye when we are with Jesus forever. All that we endured in this life is going to feel like just the blink of an eye. And we're going to understand how worth it was to press on and to pursue our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to look at verse 14. We're almost done here. He says, I press on toward the goal. For the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, the upward call. If you're saved in Christ Jesus, you've received this upward call. You're called heavenward. The world is not your home. You're called heavenward. You're going to be with Jesus Christ forever. But here's where I'm getting ready to close. But if you're like me, there are many days in our lives where we get distracted, don't we? Instead of pressing on, if you're like me, we stand still, don't we? Instead of forgetting what lies behind us, we cling to our old ways, don't we? We look back. Instead of a singular focus on the upward call. Isn't it true that our affections are too often divided? We want the things in this world sometimes more than we want God. That we would prefer that the things of this world would maybe be as they were or be a little bit better, forgetting that God has called us to the best, the upward call. Isn't it true, loved ones, that maybe right now you're distracted? And as a result, you're anxious or you're fearful or your spiritual life has run dry and you feel weak, you don't have the strength you need. Oh, loved ones, a dark world needs to see the light, Christ's church. A scared world, as A.W. Tozer says, needs to see a fearless church. A confused world needs to see the clarity of a mature church. A mature church that says, I have not fully arrived, but I'm getting there.
And one thing I do, I forget what is behind and I press on for the prize, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, loved ones, so many of us have tasted of the goodness of God, but maybe in this season we are distracted and we're burdened and we're troubled. We're depressed or we're saddened by the events of this world. Today, oh, loved ones, today, we can pray that God would help us. We can pray and heed his word. We can pray that God would strengthen us. In fact, I want to close with the prayer of one of my favorite authors, A.W. Tozer. This is what he wrote in his book, The Pursuit of God, a prayer from A.W. Tozer. It's on the screen. Would you pray this with me, even where you are? He prays this. God, I have tasted thy goodness, and it has both satisfied me and made me thirsty for more. I am painfully conscious of my need of further grace. I'm ashamed of my lack of desire. O God, the triune God, I want thee. I long to be filled with longing. I thirst to be made more thirsty still. Show me thy glory, I pray thee, so I may know thee indeed. Begin in mercy a new work of love within me. Say to my soul, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away with me. Then give me grace to rise and follow thee up from this misty lowland where I have wandered so long. In Jesus' name, amen. What a profound prayer, and I'm going to encourage you now. Let's turn to God in prayer. Let's turn to God in prayer right now and ask him to fill our hearts with longing. Let's ask him to fill our hearts with desire to press on and ask him to show us the things we need to see. Ask him to mature us and grow us. Oh, Lord, I pray right now. I pray that you would help us to acknowledge in truth that we have so often longed for other things. We run hard after other things. And Lord, we pray that you would forgive us. Would you forgive me for running after other things? Would you help me to say with the Apostle Paul, I press on. God, so often we confess there is a lack of longing in our lives, but we pray to you right now that you would help us to want you more. Give us the desire that we are lacking. Fill us with the zeal to press on. Fill us, Lord, with the perspective we need, shaped by your steady word, that this world is not our home, that our hope, our prize is Jesus. And one day, very soon, we will be with you forever. Let that reality fill us with joy right now. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen.
For more resources and information about Hope Church Toronto West, please visit hopechurchtw.ca.